When I was just a young man, Rolf Barnard made a statement in a sermon that I heard, and it was a bit surprising to me. He said, the greatest and most needful field of evangelism today is in the Baptist Church. I repeat what Barnard said more than 50 years ago. The greatest, most needed field of evangelism today is in Baptist churches and other churches that are called Christian churches. Paganism in Africa or in New Guinea or in any other remote place in the world, the paganism of India or of China is none greater than the paganism of modern Christianity. I make no effort, I urge you to make no effort to try to decide whether this person or that is saved. That's not your business and it's not my business. We must not sit in judgment and presume that we can determine what's in the hearts of other people. We must not do so. It is not possible for you or for me to know who is a believer and who is not a believer, except by what he professes or she professes with her mouth. Believers often behave horribly. Believers often believe horrible things. Often they do. There are many who believe horrible things. Peter, you'll recall on one occasion, was so errant in his doctrine by the implication of his behavior that Paul said, you're teaching salvation by works. He didn't believe that. He didn't teach that. But by implication of his actions, separating himself from the Gentile believers when Jewish brethren came, Peter implied such. Believers can often act horribly and believe horrible things utterly inconsistent with the gospel of God's grace. But believers are men and women who know, trust, worship, love, and adore the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who is the Christ of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That plain, that simple, that clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, whosoever believeth that Jesus of Nazareth, that one you sang so well about, our King, our Savior, whosoever believeth that Jesus, the man of Nazareth, is the Christ spoken of in Old Testament Scripture, spoken of in all the law and prophets, he's born of God. Salvation is yours if you trust the Lord Jesus. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. To believe him is to trust his obedience alone as all your righteousness. To trust him alone as the Lord your righteousness. To believe on Jesus Christ is to trust his blood, his sufferings, his death, his accomplishments at Calvary by the sacrifice of himself as your only atonement for sin. To believe on Christ is to trust his grace alone, his bestowment of mercy, love, and grace on you and working in you. Trusting him alone is to believe on the Lord Jesus. This is eternal life, he said, that they might know thee, the only true God. And without the knowledge of the true God, there's no eternal life. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you know him? Do you trust the Christ of God? Who is it? Is he the Christ you trust? Is he the Christ that's described in this book? Is that one you trust real, or is he an imposter? Do you trust Christ or Antichrist, and there are many of them. Let's read what Christ Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and ask God the Holy Ghost to make him known to us and give us faith in him. Matthew 24, we'll begin reading at verse 4. Now, before we read the passage, let me remind you, this passage is not to be isolated in your understanding as applying only to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. If that's all it's talking about, you can just forget it, cut it up, leave it alone. It has nothing to say to you. It's just historic. That's all it is. And history won't be of any benefit to your soul. This is not just a historic passage about what happened in Jerusalem in 70 AD, but rather it is a declaration by our Lord of that which is brought to pass in every age of time as long as this world exists until Christ comes again. So that every word here is just as applicable to you and me as it was to believers in that horrid day when the Roman army swept through Jerusalem and destroyed Jerusalem and the city and the temple of Jerusalem. Matthew 24, verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." Those are horrible, horrible, horrible evil men. There have been many throughout the age of the Christian church and some prior to that who claimed to be the Christ. But if you read about them, you think, man, those fellows were all crackpots. Some of them women. They popped a cork. It takes somebody just as foolish as them to follow them. But they had their following. Then our Lord speaks of others. Verse 6. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." You hear about them all the time. Folks have throughout history. Somebody says it's going to be in the days when Christ comes as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in Lot's day, people marrying and giving in marriage, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Well, he wasn't saying this is going to be unique to this day. That's the way men live. That's the way men have always behaved. They live as if there's no God, and there's war everywhere all the time. "See that you be not troubled. Don't let these things shake you. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." There are greater sorrows than these. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Oh, what a terrible day. We've got our society passing laws, promoting sodomy and outlawing godliness. Our nation and every nation in the Western world. "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Wherever iniquity abounds, love decreases." Men shout about it, talk about it, and have parades about it, and have protests about it, and burn flags about it. But wherever iniquity abounds, love diminishes. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." True believers, they just keep on believing. They just keep on believing. What's that? I don't know what's going on. What's going on? I don't know. How do you explain that? I gave up that a long time ago. What do? You just keep believing Christ. True believers just keep looking to Christ. Verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come." There's clearly a reference here to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, the inaugural act of our Lord Jesus, when the gospel was preached to all nations, went from the Jews to the Gentile world. But the passage certainly refers to more than that. It refers to the fact that God has determined to make the gospel known in the four corners of the earth to call out his elect out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, when you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Whoso readeth, let him understand. What's this talking about? Oh, that's when they came into the temple of Jerusalem and offered swine's blood on the altar before destroying that place. Well, yeah, sort of. But there's something a lot worse than that. The Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, describes the abomination of desolation in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. When men, as he spoke of in Romans 1, worship the creature more than the Creator. And man, the man of sin, Antichrist, stands in the house of God demanding that he be worshipped as though he were God. Now, I'm here to lay this charge at the door of religion in our day, at the door of every form of Arminian free will works religion. Men today, all over Danville, Kentucky, throughout this county, throughout this state, throughout this nation, throughout this world, men today set man up in the house of God and attribute to man the will and power of God and say that God must do what man demands. They worship man as though he were God. That's the abomination of desolation. Better to slaughter a hog and offer it on the altar in Jerusalem. That's the abomination of desolation. Read on. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Perhaps the tribulation speaks of a time of great physical suffering. I'm more inclined to think it's talking about a time of great spiritual trial. We live in a day of tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world. A day of spiritual trial, such as has not been since the beginning of the world. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. They'll show signs and wonders. Oh, Brother Don, did you hear about this fellow? He's able to heal folks. He's able to heal folks. He can heal people who've got a crooked back, make them feel straight. He can see inside folks and see that they've got a sickness in their stomach, make them feel better. He can see folks who've got headaches. You know, you never see anything like that in any of the miracles recorded in Scripture. Nothing like that. The folks who perform wonders, God's prophets, God's apostles, and our Lord Jesus, they cause folks who had never walked to walk. They cause people who were absolutely stone cold deaf to hear better than I can. I've got hearing aids now. I hear pretty good. Those folks took men who were absolutely blind. Blind from birth. They had never seen the light of day and gave them sight. They didn't have speculative miracles. But folks think they're going to have, these are wonder-working miracle men. They must be of God. Don't pay them any attention. Don't pay them any attention. I say without hesitancy that every man, every woman who claims in this day to have apostolic gifts to heal, to speak in tongues, to see visions and prophecies by which they have revelation from God is antichrist. They're fake as a $3 bill, and you're a fool if you follow. I don't care what crowds follow them. I don't care how many crowds follow them. You're a fool if you follow them. Read on. Verse 25. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. Don't we in public worship anymore. We meet in houses and here and there. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Christ will appear with sudden power and great glory. Unexpected. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now that may seem like a strange, strange expression to you, and it does to me. Let me tell you exactly what our Savior is saying. Wherever the crucified Christ is, there are those people whom God teaches to fly like eagles gather together. They come and feed upon the crucified Christ and him alone. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. As God took all the light that was given to the Jews in all the years of the Old Testament and turned it into darkness, so that the Jews to this day read Moses and the law, there's a veil over his face and they can't see. God's caused the sun to be darkened and the moon and the stars to give no light. So everywhere in the world today, men take this book, the light of divine revelation, and words they pick out of this book, and God has put a veil over their face and they can't see. So that which is light to our feet, a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway, is to them but darkness, and they grope about in darkness. Read on. Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. There are going to be people all over the world, some here, some there, a few here, a few there, but all over the world mourning. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. He's going to send messengers from heaven. With the jubilee sound of liberty and freedom in the gospel of God's free grace. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The Lord Jesus here warns us plainly and repeatedly that in the last days, the days in which we now live, many false Christ would appear. That many would claim to be Christ who are imposters, false Christ, deceivers, and that many false prophets would arise pointing us to these false Christ, saying, lo, here is Christ, or there is Christ. As you care for your soul, as you care for the souls of your family, as you care for the souls of perishing men and women, as you care for the truth of God and the glory of God, I urge you to hear the words of the Son of God and heed his words with earnest care. I want to talk to you today about false Christ and the true. False Christ and the true. The fact is, there are many false Christ, many antichrist by whom the souls of men are deceived and damned forever. I want to be as charitable, as kind, as gracious as I can. But charity, kindness, and grace will not allow me to be silent while immortal souls are deceived and God's glory is trampled underfoot and the blood of Christ and the Spirit of grace despised. Now hear me. Hear me. If you trust a false Christ, any false Christ, you cannot be saved any more than you can be saved by trusting a tadpole. If you trust a false Christ, I don't care how sincere you are. If you trust a false Christ, you cannot be saved any more than you can be saved by trusting a tadpole or worshiping a stump or a totem pole. We're here called of God to trust, love, follow, and obey the Christ of God and Him only. Salvation is promised to sinners who trust the Christ. Therefore, we're warned, take heed that no man deceive you. We must take heed to the teaching of Holy Scripture. Not to what men think. Not to what you think. Not to emotions and feelings and experience. But to Holy Scripture. Take heed to God's Word. Take heed to the teaching of God the Holy Ghost, lest we be deceived with some false Christ. Now there are many antichrist. We know about the Christ of the liberals. He gets more and more unlike Christ every day. The Christ of the liberals, they tell us he was a good man, but not God. He came into the world, but his resurrection, his death, he died like any other man, died by crucifixion, but just like any other man. And his resurrection, that's just a theory. That's just, he appeared to rise again. Some folks thought that he rose from the dead. Nobody really arises from the dead. He's a good man, but not terribly good. I didn't go see it. I hope you didn't. If you did, I hope you've forgotten it. They had that movie Jesus Christ Superstar a while back. And folks have been promoting the idea that the Lord Jesus, this good man, he was actually shacking up with Mary Magdalene. That's the liberal Christ. If that's the Christ you believe, you're a fool. And nobody but a fool is deceived by it. We also know about the Christ of the cults. These days, it's shocking to me. It's shocking to me. Folks talk about Mormonism as though they're Christian. And Mormons have worked hard to be accepted as Christian. We had a fellow run for president who wore those strange underwear Mormons wear. I don't know what they are. I've never had a pair on. But we got folks in Congress and in the Senate who are accepted as fine Christian folks who are Mormons. Mormons believe that Jesus Christ is a creature of God, not God. That's paganism. That's idolatry. Jehovah Witnesses, Russellites, same thing. The Christ of the cults is some sort of lesser God. Maybe a great spirit, maybe a divine idea, maybe the greatest creation of God, but still a creature of one who is God above him. Well, Brother Don, are you saying that all Mormons are lost too? Well, I wouldn't say that. God did. How much plainer can Scripture be? How much plainer? If you believe that Jesus Christ is nothing but a creature, you don't believe anything. You're as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. And we hear about the papist Christ as well. He's getting more and more popular all the time. The Christ of Roman Catholicism. The papists profess that Jesus Christ is God. And they profess that he came into the world as a man. They tell us that he suffered and died at Calvary as a substitute in the place of sinners. They tell us that he was buried and rose again the third day and ascended back into heaven and that he's coming again. Papists all believe that. Roman Catholics all believe that. Some of you were raised in that nonsense. But the Christ of Romanism is not a complete savior. The Christ of Rome can't save sinners without their good works, without the intercessions of the priest, without the sacraments of the church. The Christ of Rome is not the Christ of this book. We're not deceived by it. Though many, many are damned in the darkness of Roman Catholic idolatry, that's not a danger that's particularly concerning to me, concerning you, your family, and those in your influence. The Christ of the papist we know is a false Christ. But there's another Christ, another false Christ, much more dangerous, much more deceiving than the antichrist of the liberals, the cults, and the papists. There is a false Christ by whom the souls of men have been deceived for years, by whom millions are being deceived today, this very hour. In fact, I'm compelled to say this. I'm compelled to say this. The vast majority of those who profess faith in Christ are followers of Antichrist, followers of a false Christ, who will ultimately lead them to eternal ruin. And I say that with a heart more heavy than you can imagine. Because almost everybody I love outside my immediate family and this family here, almost everybody dearest to me, almost everybody is deceived by Antichrist. Been in church most of their lives. Made a profession of faith when they were small children. Didn't affect their lives any, but they made a profession of faith. Go to church, have spasms of religion. Every time things get bad, they have another spasm of religion, but it doesn't last long. They have little fits of religion, and some of them very devoted in their religion, but they don't know God from a billy goat. They don't know God from a billy goat. This Christ, this Antichrist, is such a dangerous, deceptive Christ that our Lord tells us that Antichrist would deceive the very elect were it not impossible for God's elect to be deceived. Antichrist must be identified. The Christ I speak of is the Christ of Arminian free will works religion. The Christ of any religion. Now listen carefully. I'm talking about Antichrist. Antichrist is the Christ of any religion that makes salvation in any way to be determined by you or dependent on you. That's Antichrist. That's Antichrist. Now, if I realize that folks think I'm just a crabby old man and mean and heartless and all that stuff, few think that I'm uncharitable when I denounce the false cults of liberals and papists and others as antichrists, and warn men that following the Christ of the liberal, the papist, or the cults will lead you to hell. I've had a few folks get upset with me over that, not many. But whenever I boldly assert, as I do everywhere I go, some of you listen to what I preach on my way and you get the messages other places, you will bear me witness. I tell folks wherever I go, if I go just one time, they're sure going to hear this. I tell them wherever I go that the Christ of Arminian free will works religion is Antichrist, and you'll be damned forever if you follow him. And people say, that's mean. That's harsh. That's judgmental. How come? How come? I'll tell you how come. Because it gets close to home. It gets real close to home. That's exactly how come. Be that as it may, I'm here to warn all who will hear my voice of the danger of Antichrist. The Christ of Arminian free will works religion is extremely dangerous because in many ways, at first appearance, he appears to be like the truth. Take heed that no man deceive you. Let me give you four or five comparisons very briefly, and you will see clearly that the Christ of the religion up the road that way, across the road that way, back across the field this way, down the road that way. Go to any of the churches you want to. Any of them. I don't recommend that you do, but if you want to prove what I'm saying, go down there tonight, across there Wednesday night, down there next Sunday morning, back there next Sunday night. Just listen to them. Or turn them on radio or television. Or listen to what they put on the internet. Just listen. If you want to prove what I'm saying about them is so, all you got to do is listen. Now you will see clearly that the Christ being preached in this age is not the Christ of this book. Number one, the false Christ of modern free will works religion loves everybody in the universe and wants to save everybody. Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Won't you let him save you? What absurdity. We're told that Christ loves all men alike, desires the salvation of all alike, is gracious to all alike, and that language makes the love, the will, and the grace of Christ utterly useless. If he loves everybody alike, some folks go to hell anyway, what good's his love? If he wills the salvation of all alike, and some folks go to hell anyway, what benefit is his will? If he is gracious to all people alike, gives everybody the same opportunities, and does the same thing for everybody, what difference does his grace make? Arminian free will works religion makes the love of God, the grace of God, and the will of God utterly insignificant. You may as well talk about the love and will and grace of this book. But they're sincere. Sincerity's got nothing to do with it. They're not sincere. They're deceived and deceivers. The true Christ, the Christ of the Bible, the saving Christ, loves his people. He prays for the salvation of his people. He's gracious to his people. The people he unconditionally chose to salvation before the world began. He is gracious too. He loves, he wills the salvation of the people for whom he gave his life at Calvary. All of them and none but them. I'll give you one text of scripture. I have dozens written out in my notes here. I'll give you just one. I use it all the time, but I like to use it because it's a hard knot for the Arminian to untie. It's a hard nut for the will worshiper to crack. This is what God says. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. Now you find me a way to leave that statement in scripture and still at the same time assert that God loves everybody, and I'll eat my Bible and spit it at you. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The Son of God prayed that the Lord God would be gracious to his people and refused to pray for the rest. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All right, number two. The Christ of modern free will works religion tries to save everyone. Oh, the Lord's trying to save you. When I was a 19-year-old a college boy, I was preaching here and there, and I was sitting on the hearth of Brother Harry Graham's house in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Shelby was over learning something from his wife, Nola. Nola taught her to put up frozen corn and taught her to make pot roast, and she still puts up corn and makes pot roast Nola's way. And Harry taught me a ton. I said, Brother Harry, the Lord's trying to teach me something. He said, hold on, Don. God doesn't try. God doesn't try. Let me tell you something. Mark Medley, God never tried to do anything. I try. God never tried to do anything. God does. There's a huge difference. The Christ of the Bible doesn't merely offer salvation. He performs it. Grace is not an offer of God, which God offers to men. Grace is the operation of God in you. There's a huge difference. The Son of God effectually calls to himself all his elect, all whom he's redeemed, his sheep, and sovereignly works salvation in them by the irresistible power and grace of his Spirit. Not one will be lost. That is exactly the doctrine of Scripture. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's what he said. That's what he said. He said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. There are some people in this world, sons and daughters of Adam, scattered this way and that way, and this way and that way, in every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, young and old, rich and poor, male and female, black and white, educated and barbarian, men and women everywhere, who are Christ's sheep, given to him as his sheep before the world was. He came to redeem them and save them. Come here, let me tell you something. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Every one of them. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Will you help me? For he shall save his people from their sins. Not try to. Not offer to. Not make it possible. He shall save his people from their sins. Any other Jesus is Antichrist. He's Antichrist. All right, let me show you a third thing. The Scriptures are crystal clear in these matters. They're not speculative. The false Christ of Arminianism, of will worship religion, cannot regenerate and cannot save anyone who doesn't first choose to let him. He can't save anyone. He can't give anyone life who doesn't first choose to be saved by him. We're told God gave man a free will. And with the same breath, we're told that the will of God, the will of Christ, is bound by man's free will. Now, nobody uses this kind of language. I haven't heard anybody yet. But I have heard folks say that man's will binds the will of God. In other words, man's got God in a hammerlock. His hands are tied, and he can't do anything until man consents and lets God save him. Isn't that wonderful? Wipe it off your boots. It stinks. That's nothing but a bunch of Arminian manure. If I could use baser language, I would. It's idolatry. Nothing but idolatry. The true Christ, blessed be his name, violates man's will. Aren't you thankful? He wouldn't take no for an answer from you. There are some people in this world from whom God won't take no for an answer. He won't do it. He won't do it. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Well, preacher, the way you're talking, God saves men against their will. Yeah, that's the way I'm talking. He saves them against their will by giving them a new will. He saves them against their will by making them willing in the day of his power. So that the Lord Jesus comes by his Spirit and makes himself known to sinners. And if he reveals himself to you, you can't resist him. You can't resist him. You've got to have him. I didn't want him. Did you? Merle Hart, I wouldn't have him. I blasphemed him. I cussed him. I wouldn't have him. I wouldn't have it. Get out of my way! I wouldn't have it. I wouldn't have it. Until one day, I had to have him. I had to have him. Give me Christ or else I die. How come? because he stepped in my way and made himself known. We're told that Jesus stands outside your heart's door and he's knocking. And there's no handle on the outside. The only way he can get in is if you let him in. If Christ comes into you, he'll knock the door down, bolt and bar. And you won't even know he's around until he's sitting on the throne and you're glad to have him. Man is saved not by his will, but by God's will. So then it is not of him that willeth. We believe in salvation by man's free will. Well, take your pocket knife and cut Romans 9 out of your Bible. It is not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Number 4. The false Christ of modern Arminian will worship religion, this man-centered religion of this day, that Antichrist that's proclaimed everywhere today, died on the cross for everyone in the world to make it possible for everyone in the world to be saved, but actually did not secure anyone's salvation. We're told that Christ made it possible for you to be justified. He made it possible for your sins to be put away. He made it possible for your sins to be purged away. He made it possible for you to be made righteous. He made it possible for you to be saved. He made it possible for you to enter into heaven. No, he didn't. He did it. With his own blood, he purged our sins. By the sacrifice of himself, he put our sins away. With his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And he sat down as a forerunner in heaven at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now hang on! And when he did, we sat down with him. Read Ephesians chapter 2. He took us back to glory with him. Well, I'm not in heaven yet. Well, I'm not physically there, but I'm there. Ask the Savior. He said, where I am, there you shall be also. And there we are, seated with him in heavenly places at the right hand of the majesty on high, just as accepted of God, just as permanently accepted of God, just as favored of God, just as holy before God, just as righteous with God as Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a frustrated failure. He did not die in vain for the multitudes who perish at last in hell. And if you believe on a Christ who died in vain for some, you believe on a Christ whose blood is worthless, useless, meaningless, insignificant, makes no difference. If Christ died for everybody, and some folks go to hell anyway, his blood doesn't make any difference. His sacrifice doesn't make any difference. His intercession doesn't make any difference. His life doesn't make any difference. He just as well not come. He didn't die in vain for anyone. One last thing. The false Christ of Arminian will worship religion loses many who've been saved by him. I got a couple of emails this week. I answered the first one and ignored the rest. A fellow had been writing to me for years. I suppose once in a while listens to things, going to some whoopee Arminian church out in California. And he wrote to me, he said, Mr. Donald, I'm an atheist again. I'm no longer a believer. And I said to him, you never were. What? How could you say that? If you ain't, you never were. I know folks have been saved 2 or 3 times. No, you know folks have got spasms of religion 2 or 3 times. Most everybody I know in this county has been saved 2 or 3 times. Most of them have been saved 2 or 3 times a year. They get a dose every time they have a revival meeting. If ever the Christ of God saves you, he says you shall never perish. Because you see, God's people are kept in life not by what they will, or by what they think, or by what they do, or by what they feel. We're kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation that is yet to be revealed. Kept by God's power. Father, put them right here in my hands. Trust them to me, and I'll bring them to you. If I bring them not back, let me bear the shame forever. And no man's able to pluck them out of my hands. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hands who gave them to me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You can't stretch that too far, Brother John. No, you can't. So just stretch and stretch and stretch, no matter what. No matter what. If in a sudden rage you murder a man, or like David, plot to murder him. Preacher, you mean salvation doesn't have effect on man's life? You never heard me say that. But I am here to tell you that you're just as capable today of any evil as you were when you came out of your mother's womb. No, that's not true. More capable. Me too. Me too. There's nothing you or I won't do if God doesn't keep us from doing it, just for him to leave us to ourselves for a minute. Nothing. 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 How can you say a man saved then? He that hath the Son hath life. And our righteousness with God doesn't depend on us. Well, you just opened the floodgates to sin. Only if that's what you want. And if that's what you want, go ahead. Have at it. Have at it. I won't try to restrain you. You mean, Brother Dodd, God will never leave me to myself, no matter what. He won't forsake us because he forsook his Son. Oh, my God, give me grace then to give myself wholly to him who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. All right, let's.